We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrand, that fine gentleman over there. As always, the one, the only, still the incomparable Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
I'm good. Just showered, drinking tea, wearing clean clothes, fully locked in on what might be our most important episode of the middle to late winter, Ty. So let's get weird. Let's get personal. Let's get passionate.
Absolutely. Well, as always, the show is driven by our good friends over at Geico. We appreciate you stopping by. On today's show, we are playing a little game of how is your marriage? What does that mean? Well, it means that, frankly, Dan's going to tell us about when we can expect Reuben baby number 3, any passionate plans for conception. You won't want to miss it. You just won't want to miss it here on the podcast today.
Actually, that sounds like exactly something you would want to miss. That sounds like you should definitely figure out other options in terms of podcasting. How's your marriage? Stems from a joke question I used to ask Ty to make him uncomfortable, but now that he has quit the mysterious day job, he's just more and more comfortable with my stupidity. How's your marriage is about college football coaches and their marriages that are currently happening with their schools. And college football, the entirety of the sport, is about relationships. Relationships between players and each other, players and coaches, coaches and schools, players and schools. But because coaches seem to be, with exceptions, some of the more longer tenured people in the sport at their place, especially with players transferring all over the place, we chose to hone in on them and evaluate things, I guess, going into the spring and into the 2022 season, and just a look in the moment of how things appear to be. Is the spark alive? Is the spark fading? Is the spark regrowing? What is going on with these various relationships within the sport between school and coach? And then I think I'm going to make Ty uncomfortable and ask about his marriage, and he's going to try to make me uncomfortable, but that will only be available to patrons at verballers.com, because I can't imagine the public at large cares that much.
I brought a little bit of chin music there with that lead. I was hoping maybe to make you a little uncomfortable. I don't know if it worked.
No, it was okay. And the reason why we're doing this right now is because this coming Monday, if I'm correct in my calendar look,
Valentine's Day. It comes every year, whether you like it or not.
Everybody's gonna love today, gonna love today, gonna love today.
Looking to add some warmth to the winter via Valentine's Day. So hopefully, if you're a believer in Valentine's Day and everything that it stands for, This is a time to get you jump started on your plans for either the weekend or Monday.
We want to make sure everyone's got enough lead time.
Yes.
To do what they need to do to get their affairs in order for Valentine's Day. Yes, we're going to be going through the How's Your Marriage game of college football. Before we go any further, don't forget to subscribe / follow The Solid Verbal wherever you get your podcasts. You can also rate and review us in a bunch of different places, Apple, Spotify, you name it. They're all relevant. We'd appreciate your support. As Dan mentioned, verballers.com is where you can go to get access to all the bonus coverage, all
yes.
the extra tic-tacs and knick-knacks that we've got going on here in the off-season. We do a show that we're very proud of and very excited about every Friday, the Bruin Day, where we mm-hmm. answer Verballer questions. It is arguably the most fun that you and I have recording in any given week.
Yes.
We've also got an off-topic show that we are in the early stages of putting together. By early, I mean we don't know what we're doing yet, but we will come together on some topic. And
one of them will be pizza.
One of them will have to be pizza. It'll have to be pizza. Mm-hmm. I will not know anything about it. I will just sort of offer from afar. But
I also like cheese.
That is correct. Something like that. Verballers.com is where you can go to get this show on video, to get early access to this show, all of our shows, and get access to the Discord, because the Discord is really where it's at here in the off season. And last but certainly not least, social media. You and I have been putting a ton of effort into just trying to post more. Neither you nor I are really social media inclined, if that is the proper way to modify that sentence. But
we're trying.
We're trying, right? We're doing our best, and we'd appreciate your support if you like the show. Go on out and follow along and maybe hit the like button. All that stuff helps us out. We do have some news that we do need to get through, if we're being honest here.
Of course.
Why don't we start with the Josh Gattis news?
Okay.
Josh Gattis news came across this weekend. It is that he is leaving Michigan to become the offensive coordinator for the Miami Hurricanes, led by one Mario Cristobal. So Cristobal leaves Oregon, and not too long ago, there were headlines out there like, hey man, it's great that he left, but it's been since December the 6th and he still doesn't have an offensive and defensive coordinator.
Right.
That started off being a headline that we discussed on the show. Very quickly thereafter, Kevin Steele announced as the next defensive coordinator for the Miami Hurricanes. And then recently, as of this weekend, Josh Gattis, the Broyles Award-winning assistant from Michigan, formerly offensive coordinator there, announced that he was leaving. He was going to join the Cristobal staff. So there's two ways to look at this, right? The first way is, I think this is a pretty big coup for Cristobal. Yes?
I think so, yeah. So getting the Broyles Award winner in Josh Gattis, who has been at a number of major programs now, Penn State, Alabama, and Michigan, now entering into Miami, into a situation in which he has a quarterback that appears to have a higher ceiling than what he had at Michigan. We don't know about J.J. McCarthy and what his potential is, you know, flashed, but has, you know, never really started a game and shown what he can do over the course of four quarters. Now, what he has in Tyler Van Dyke is certainly interesting. It is a coup for Miami. Miami, I think, still has a lot of work to do along their offensive line. They're replacing a couple of big receivers. There is talent in the receiving core and in tight ends and at running back. And, you know, it's been a team that has hit the portal hard, and they brought in a blue chip running back. I think his name is Trevante Citizen in this class. So there is absolute promise to this offense that Josh Gattis only adds to. Defensively, Kevin Steele is a really good defensive coordinator, but has sort of behind-the-scenes reputations. Can you have multiple reputations? Has a behind-the-scenes reputation as sort of a politician? Is that the right word to use? Like, he got himself a job at Tennessee for like 6 weeks when they didn't really know what his job was going to be, after there was like reports of him operating a faction trying to get the job at Auburn when Gus Malzahn was still there, allegedly. Like, there's a lot of just like behind the scenesiness to Kevin Steele. He found himself at Maryland, was recruiting at Maryland ahead of signing day, had his nameplate on a door. And then Miami called and he was like, ooh, that seems like a better job, and headed over to Miami. So I don't know. Kevin Steele, on-field reputation, stellar. So Miami has its coordinators, and Michigan has now lost both coordinators in the wake of Jim Harbaugh. flirting with the Minnesota Vikings and not, I suppose, receiving that interest back in the same fashion. And I don't know. As soon as I saw the, like, Jim Harbaugh has told Ward Manuel, the Michigan AD, I'm fully in and I'm here for as long as you'll have me. Like, I think Michigan's winning fewer games than Vegas might say they will next year, because that's a situation when you just, like, back away from awkwardly, which is what Josh Gattis did, both allegedly because of the Harbaugh uncertainty and because what he perceived to be disrespect from from the school itself in terms of his place. I don't know if it's financial. I don't know if it's title. I don't know if it's consideration to be the next head coach when it seemed like Harbaugh was leaving. But I don't know. The administrative offices in Ann Arbor do not seem to be like the happiest place on earth.
No.
Right now.
He sent a farewell text to players on the Michigan offense. Quote, unfortunately, the past few weeks has told a different story to me about the very little appreciation I have here from administration. In life, I would never advise anyone to be where they are not wanted. And I owe that to my family and my integrity to hold myself to this standard.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's right. He's right about that.
Sure.
I don't suspect that if Michigan comes open anytime soon, he'll be a serious candidate given the text.
No.
But we do wish him well. It does leave Jim Harbaugh in a really weird spot. So the offense is still in a pretty good spot going into 2022. There's a lot coming back, even though there are some guys leaving. Defensively, a different story. There's a lot of turnover on the defensive side of the football. Having to replace both coordinators is not a great way, not a great re-welcoming party, if you will, to come back to Ann Arbor if you're him.
Right.
We'll have to wait and see what happens on the coaching front on the Michigan side of things, how they replace those vacancies, but Josh Gattis has taken his talents to South Beach, Dan, and I am at least excited for the Miami faithful among us, because it does end this period of uncertainty. It also, I think, is a shot of life for an offense that needs some creativity. Josh Gattis has been very good. He won that Broyles Award with good reason. Mm-hmm. He's a guy who knows how to use his personnel. He has tweeted hashtag speed in space. It's something he believes in. And if you're a Miami fan, getting speed and space is something that they've done, I think, to great effect over many decades of being a successful football program, at least when they were a more successful football program. They're good at doing that. They have been good at doing that. So he'll do that. He'll do some RPO stuff, no huddle stuff, really whatever the personnel allows for. I think Josh Gattis is there to help. So it's a good hire for Mario. I don't think there's anything.
Yeah, it is. And I hope, and he is a Joe Moorhead disciple, of course. So there's that connection there. Mario Cristobal hires Joe Moorhead, and they were together, Moorhead and Gattis, together at Penn State. And so I don't know the current relationship of Joe Moorhead and Mario Cristobal. Of course, they go their separate ways, with Moorhead taking the Akron head job. There are going to be rumblings that follow Mario Cristobal about his fingerprints on the offense. And so it seems like there is crossover between what Michigan did last year and its success developing an offensive line and a power rushing attack. I mean, Cade McNamara as a playoff quarterback is certainly a good job, if not great job, by Josh Gattis, because McNamara has a pretty limited ceiling, in my estimation. He was benched, right? He was benched in the college football semi game. So that seems like it might be a job that's pretty open given J.J. McCarthy's potential. And we'll see. I think Miami has a long ways to go up front along the offensive line. So their schedule is such that you should expect a good growing season from where they were last year. But I hope the expectations aren't crazy out of hand in year one, because I think it's going to take some time there in Miami.
Elsewhere, there is an ongoing saga.
Yes.
At Auburn, as it relates to Brian Harsin. We alluded to this on a couple of the episodes we did last week.
Yep.
I don't know if there's really any clarity, but just to bring folks up to speed with what's going on, there have been a wave of transfers at Auburn. 18 guys, including Bo Nix, your Oregon Duck, Bo Nix, have decided they're going to take their talents elsewhere. They're going to enter the transfer portal. Some of those kids have taken to social media complaining about player treatment under Brian Harsin. In addition to that, defensive coordinator Derek Mason, has decided he's leaving for Oklahoma State. Austin Davis, who they just hired out of the NFL to come down and be offensive coordinator, was on the job and then suddenly and abruptly decided, for personal reasons, he's going to go in a different direction.
Right.
On top of all of those factors, there have been rumors, rather salacious in nature, that have also emerged about Brian Harsin. Frankly, we're not going to get into that here because we don't know which end is up. All right. We know, per the Auburn Board of Trustees, is that they are also on something of a fact-finding mission, trying to separate the fact from the fiction and figure out just what's going to happen next atop the Auburn football program. Brian Harsin, for his part, I believe is still out of the country, at least was at the time a lot of this was going on, which is really the worst time. For
anywhere good?
I don't know. It sounds like it was somewhere warm.
Nice. Good.
But
for him.
Harsin was out of the country. He was reached for comment. He said, frankly, any attack on his character is BS. So the TLDR version of this, as I understand it.
Yeah.
Some folks have a problem with Brian Harsin. B, it was never really a popular hire, and he's still trying to deal with that. And C, what, 6-7, whatever the record was this past year, not going to win over any non-believers?
No.
So you've kind of got this weird push-pull going on. It feels very High School Musical to me. Like, there's a lot of he said, she said stuff going on. I don't know really if any of it merits making a change atop the football program, but it definitely is something we need to keep our finger on the pulse of, because it feels like, especially in SEC football, it doesn't take much, right? It doesn't take much. All you need to do is rankle a few boosters and things can get sideways in a hurry. So at least at time of recording, Monday, early afternoon Eastern time, Harsin is still the head football coach. There's been really no indications to the contrary that they're going to make a change. It just seems like there is this mudslinging surreptitiously going on behind the scenes that, as a college football podcast, we at least need to make our folks aware of.
Yeah. So from the beginning, you're absolutely right that it never seemed like the most popular, sensical hire. Geographically, even though he coaches at Arkansas State, he was coaching at Texas, he has experience in the broader region. But in terms of a head guy there, it just felt a little bit out of, left field, whatever. Now, the manner in which he comes in with recruiting as a disaster, with him sort of publicly seeming kind of ornery, and I'm not even talking about the vaccine stuff, but just sort of ornery with regard to the media. And, usually year one's like that honeymoon phase. Like, I'm so excited. We've got a bunch of guys. I can't wait for you guys to see what we're going to do. I really think we're going to build something. Doesn't get it done on the recruiting trail, which I think you glossed over a little bit, because you can not like a guy, but see what the next year or two have in store on your 24/7 site. And you're like, well, he's resonating with others. He's resonating with the youth of America, the youth of the Southeast, whatever. And you're like, I guess he must be onto something. He must be selling this vision that players are responding to. And that's a great thing. They finish with somewhere around the number 18, 19 class, which is not terrible. But look around who Auburn plays every year. Look at Georgia, LSU, Alabama, Texas A&M, whatever, and what they're doing on the trail. And so all can be forgiven if you don't like a guy personally, if the current guys on the roster who he didn't recruit, if they don't like him, well, he's bringing in his guys and his specific vision resonates with a different kind of linebacker or, slot receiver, whatever. But especially in the manner in which Auburn played this year. So they play Penn State tough. Then you look at the rest of their losses, losing to this version of South Carolina, losing an extremely winnable Iron Bowl that they probably should never have been in. But, they have this opportunity to come up with this huge upset they're not able to close. To lose in the completely choking fashion that they did to Mississippi State, to get blown out by a rival in Georgia, to look completely listless against Texas A&M, right? That was the game where I don't think they scored an offensive touchdown. I don't know if you have the schedule in front of them. Yeah, they lose 20-3. They don't score a touchdown. So the manner in which his first season played out, I don't know how, if you're a diehard Auburn fan or donor, it doesn't leave you a little bit sour when you don't have that hope moving forward. So now they're at the point saying, it's the old Joe Bluth. I don't know if you're an Arrested Development person where he's like, I've made a giant mistake. I made a huge mistake. And the money at Auburn, says, I don't see this turning around. I don't see a path forward.
Right.
And maybe they're maybe there's some sort of concerted campaign, right? That you mentioned the thing, the mudslinging that we don't necessarily get into because it's just allegations of impropriety, whatever. But then you have the player thing. And now I think not every coach is for everybody. And what Brian Harsin had to do when he came in was probably convince a roster, hang tight, stay with me, don't leave. We're talking about last year. Let me show you what I'm all about.
Yeah.
And hopefully that resonates with you. And so whatever percentage of players gave it a year, and you said it was like 18 guys, 18, 19 guys, were like, no, it's not for me. And maybe it's because he's terrible. Maybe it's because he truly does not know how to deal with players, or maybe it's a bad fit. I don't know. I'm not in that locker room. Things just don't seem great.
No,
it doesn't. It continue.
Thing,
sorry.
The thing about this is it festers.
Yeah.
It festers. And that's what concerns me. You know, look, we've been in this business long enough that when you post something out online, you kind of expect that you're going to get both sides weighing in, especially on something as,
sure.
as vague.
And there are players coming to his defense.
There are. There are players.
Very vocally so, yeah.
But something as vague as this, you kind of get the full spectrum. And I have seen folks posting about, hey, he's just cleaning the wusses off the roster.
Yeah, great.
And on the flip side, stuff to the effect of this guy is a clubhouse cancer. Nobody wants to play for him. Like, I've really seen both sides of it. And regardless of which end of the spectrum is true, these things just don't tend to go away. Now, if he goes 10-2, then we're talking. Then it's a different story. And then this all sort of just gets washed over. I don't know if that's a realistic expectation going into 2022. And so even if this thing doesn't come to a head now before
right.
the 2022 campaign, I am fearful because I've seen this act before. And it just doesn't seem like the kind of thing where, you know, first off, we're going to get that 10-2 season. Secondly, everybody's just going to be cool with it in the blink of an eye. So I worry, and I think it's unfortunately something that we're going to have to keep an eye on for the next couple of months.
Yeah, and it was a roster that, you know, defensively wasn't where it was 2-3 years ago or whatever, and offensively had playmakers, especially at running back, but now you lose a starting quarterback, and the answers at quarterback in terms of guys who've thrown balls, like, I think we kind of understand what Zach Calzada is and is not. And there's green quarterbacks on the roster. We're just like, that may have been their opportunity. That
yeah.
may have been like his
yeah.
buy time year for like a little bit of grace and goodwill. And instead, the recruiting trail is disappointing. The roster is turning over pretty quickly. And it has a faint whiff of Dan Mullen that.
Oh, no, don't say that.
Well, does it not?
It does.
I mean,
no,
at least
it does.
Dan
You're
Mullen
right. it does,
won with the previous guys.
Yeah.
But. Well, like that's what happens, where all of a sudden you are in a shootout with an FCS team at halftime and you're losing games that are just embarrassing. And you have Eli Drinkwitz coming out and saying, like, when you reap jackass, you sow jackass about Dan Mullen. And it's a hard, what's the old phrase, like turning around an aircraft carrier, like a lot takes a long time. And like Auburn is that kind of program fraught with the kind of emotion that a program with huge expectations without huge recent results is saddled with. And so,
yeah,
man, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what they do moving forward if they move on from Harsin, like just throwing a bunch of money at Bill O'Brien or something. Like, I don't know. So something to pay attention to. You know, the Auburn football program is never dull. Things are never dull around the Plains.
No. Watch this space. For much, much more, we'll do our best to keep
yeah.
up to speed. The other tidbit here before we get to our game.
Yeah.
Just wanted to give a shout out. They played the Senior Bowl.
Hmm. Who were the big performers? I did not catch it. I think I saw Malik Willis was well regarded.
Malik Willis and Des Ritter both had moments. Des
nice.
Ritter mostly for his passing. Malik Willis, I think, impressed with his running ability, which no great surprise to us. We know what Malik Willis is. Kenny Pickett was 6 of 6 in that football game, 89 yards passing, so he was perfect.
Okay.
Good game for punter Jordan Stout, who
Why
had
not?
A couple coffin corners where he pinned the opponent deep. The MVP was Perrion Winfrey from Oklahoma.
Yeah. I saw a couple tweets that like Oklahoma players were showing out and you're like, why couldn't you be an effective defense, guys?
Yeah. He had 5 tackles and 2 sacks. So he was the MVP. There was a lot written on the game. I saw our friend Bailey Zappi got in on the action a little bit. So
nice.
A lot of names that you know and love. You'll clearly be hearing many more things about all of those guys as we enter into draft season here. But Super Bowl's this weekend. Got to get that out of the way first. And then presumably this time next week, it's full bore behind the NFL draft.
And I'm a very, very tiny NFL fan. But I did see the 49ers offensive coordinator is now the head coach of the Dolphins.
Yes.
Mike McDaniel, who's just like a fun, little, excitable, genius type, allegedly. And I don't know. I don't know if I have that many Dolphins fans in my life, but happy to see a guy like that succeeding. Cool.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, now all that boring stuff is out of the way.
Valentine's Day. It comes every year whether you like it or not.
Everybody's gonna love today, gonna love today, gonna love today.
How is your marriage? It's a college football game, we swear.
Yeah.
We did this concept last year. We didn't do it around Valentine's Day. We did it in March.
No. Mm-hmm.
And I was going back through, I was looking at the show notes, and I was struck by the number of college football marriages that we probably gave the kiss of death to. Miami and Manny Diaz.
Ooh, what did we say?
I don't know. It was just listed. Oh, okay. I know we talked about it. I don't remember what we said.
Right.
I have a suspicion what we said, but
mm-hmm.
clearly at that point in time, we didn't know it was going to go the way it went. That was
probably something around like, we want it to work because they go way back. And then you're just like, but at the same time, there are some issues.
There are some issues that may have been the relationship that I called out as Miami only being in it for the hair.
Right.
I don't recall.
Of course. Yeah.
But we talked about Manny and Miami. We talked about Florida and Dan Mullen.
Mm-hmm.
And again, not sure what we said. I seem to remember being fairly bullish on Florida and Dan Mullen.
It was in the shadow of a really incredible offensive, mostly offensive season. High-level NFL talent, yeah.
Talked about ASU and Herm Edwards.
Yeah.
Has not gone well.
Mm-mm,
and we also talked about Nebraska and Scott Frost, which
right.
Scott Frost still employed by Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Went 3-9, though. Has not had a winning season, though. And that could be an issue. So,
where are we starting?
I think we already did kind of start with Auburn and Brian Harsin, did we not?
And Harbaugh and Michigan.
Yeah. Is there any further context you would like to add to either of those marriages?
No, I mean, the Harrison one seemed born out of not desperation or loneliness, but like a rush of, I need to find somebody, and this person is willing, and this person seems like they've got a good background and that they could be a good fit. And then once you get to know them, maybe you realize there's like an annulment phase happening right now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The Harbaugh thing is a trial separation that one person was like, man, I don't know if I want to do a trial separation. And then the other person thinking, yeah, we should definitely do a trial separation. And then the roles being reversed and the person who wanted the separation is saying, I miss her. I miss her.
Yeah.
And the other party saying, I don't know, this is kind of an interesting path for me. And then they get back together and there's just like an air of unease.
Yeah. Things are different now, right? They're different because that trial meant something, man.
Of course.
Trial gave off a new vibe.
Yeah. Jim Harbaugh hit the bars and realized he doesn't want to be out here doing TikTok dances.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Or he was told, I don't want you in my TikTok dance.
That's right. That's correct.
Yeah.
That's
all right. Correct. Who are we going to next? I have a few. I mean, I have Ryan Day. I want to stick with the Big
Let's
Ten
do
East.
It. Let's do Ryan Day.
Ryan Day and his relationship with Ohio State, I think, was always reasonably strong. But there is something, like, I think one day Ryan Day looked in the mirror and said, I can be a better partner. And he said to himself, I'm going to trim some of the fat. Mm-hmm. And in this case, this is perhaps coaches who he wasn't on the same page with or didn't feel like they were pulling his weight. So maybe Ryan Day is going to the gym a little bit more. Maybe he's just doing a better job of listening. Ryan Day is, he's trying to work on him and do the things that he can control to strengthen this relationship. And so that's a new defensive coordinator, a new offensive line coach, and saying the old me is a thing of the past. I'm doing the little things around the, you know, I'm taking care of chores that I would always put off that seem like, yeah, if I keep ignoring the water heater, it's going to come back to bite us. And I know you've been bothering me about taking care of the water heater. I don't know if this analogy, Kerry Coombs, is the water heater, but Ryan Day's coming around to listening about taking care of business.
So let me pause you there for a second.
He's being a better partner.
Let me pause you there for a second, though.
Okay.
Is there not a concern with Ryan Day going through this period of self-improvement?
Mm-hmm.
Is there not a moment at which Ryan Day starts to wonder, have I improved myself so much that maybe the trial separation is for me?
You think Ryan Day has outgrown his partner in this relationship is what you're saying?
I'm not saying it's happened yet.
Right.
But I'm saying you're right. There has very clearly been a pattern of self-improvement here. He's trying to get better for Ohio State, trying to be that better partner, as you said.
Right.
Is it only a matter of time then before it's like, what's up, NFL?
It's possible. It's possible, especially with how much he's been. The hair seems very dark. The Ryan Day hair situation. He's got like the Steven Seagal like facial hair tint. I don't think it's imminent. I think he's really happy with what he has. I think he's really happy with his lot in life right now and realizes how fortunate he is and the type of freedom and success that he is finding in his marriage. So
yeah, I think I was heartened by the fact that there were some NFL questions lobbed at him. Right.
Sure.
Because there was the Bears opening, and that was for a long time. That was the hot rumor because he can be reunited with Justin Fields, and the Bears are perennially a disaster. They just need a guy who can get energy back in that program. And he just sort of swatted him away. Like, nah, I'm good. Like, I'm not
no,
leaving.
I mean,
I'm good.
The Ohio State job is arguably a better job than the Chicago Bears job.
I like that. Ryan Day. Yeah. I want to stay in the great state of Ohio.
Okay.
We'll talk about Luke Fickell.
Oh my God. I'm ready for it.
Luke Fickell and Cincinnati. One of the angles that we took last year when we did this show is which of these marriages are forever? I'm of the belief, Dan, nothing's forever. Nothing's forever.
I don't know.
Till death
okay,
do
continue.
Us part. Like nothing, It says it right there in the vows. Nothing is forever.
Right.
This is absolutely forever. Unless.
What?
Unless we've got a Hallmark movie situation going on.
Mm.
With Ohio State, the old high school sweetheart, reemerging. And they come back around on like a business trip or a best friend's wedding, something like that.
Right.
And that spark reignites.
Okay.
And that spark reignites. You should definitely take my word on this, because I was spot on when I said Brian Kelly's never going to leave Notre Dame. And when I said just a few weeks ago that Harbaugh is as good as gone, he's going to the NFL. So I know a thing or two about reading the tea leaves here. Luke Fickell is 48-15 at Cincinnati in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's won the conference each of the last two seasons, obviously just went to the playoff. They're about to join the Big 12. Did we see what year they're joining the Big 12? Does anybody know when that's going to... It's got to be soon.
Soon, yeah.
So there's a lot going right for Luke Fickell. And I honestly believe that that is forever unless the Ohio State job opens. If and when that job opens, and Ryan Day is a young guy too, I don't think there's any like imminent retirement in the plans for him, provided things keep going well. But I only see an Ohio State future for Luke Fickell as another possibility outside of Cincinnati. Beyond that, I mean, he's not leaving for a job across the country. I think he's got pretty deep roots in the Midwest. The Michigan job could be interesting if that comes open.
I don't think, not for him.
I find it hard to believe that an Ohio State blue blood,
yeah,
someone who bleeds scarlet and gray, and Luke Fickell would want to take that Michigan job. But I think the only possibility for him is a Buckeye.
Man, I'm going to tell you about, you see, you talked about big picture where Luke Fickell could be. I'm going to talk about his marriage with Cincinnati itself, the Bearcats.
Okay.
This is a couple that's hot and heavy. This is a couple sneaking away at a party to make out in an empty room, do whatever. I don't know. We're talking Mile High Club. We're talking about getaways just for the sake of getaways, just to keep that fire alive.
Going to PA Dutch country, right?
Yes. We're talking about Luke Fickell out and about at the grocery store or the dry cleaners, and a lovely young lady is saying like, hey, what's your name? And he just points to his ring and he says, I'm good. I'm good. This is a guy who's loyal and passionate and has blinders on.
Mm.
Blinders on for the Bearcats. And this marriage is in such a good place, Ty.
Does Luke Fickell strike you as a passionate lover?
Does Luke Fickell strike me as some... There's an air of seriousness and business to him.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that too.
If you're talking about... This is going to a weird territory.
It is. And that's what we do here. It's a college football show.
He's a very successful one. You look at the size of his family.
Yeah.
No, in terms of creativity, in terms of thinking outside the box, I don't know if I see that in him, but man, is he just locked in? He is a marriage guy. Some people, you know, I'm sure you have friends who are just like, I don't know if I want to get married. Luke Fickell's like, let's have kids. Let's figure out landscaping. Let's figure out, you know, let's clean some gutters. He is just in it for the long haul, and just he loves being in a romantic partnership.
Yeah.
And the self-awareness there is very, very obvious.
I'm a fan of Luke Fickell. A fan of Luke Fickell. I like what he's doing at Cincinnati. I hope they like what he's doing. I can't imagine otherwise.
Yeah, man. He's into it.
You want to talk about Mike Norvell in Florida State?
Sure. Let's do it.
About to start year three of this union. Got off to a bit of a rocky start in year one, year zero,
mm-hmm.
whatever you want to call 2020. Went 3-6. Then last year got off to another disaster start and went 5-7. They made a late run at a bowl game. Late run didn't quite pan out, but the way they rallied the troops down the stretch I thought was admirable. But what I'm watching here is the fact that the recruiting class is 20th in the nation. That was behind both Florida as well as Miami. Obviously, there was the Travis Hunter mishap, which did not help.
Right.
And what I worry about is with all of that baggage, I don't know if I want to call it baggage, but with all that stuff in mm-hmm. the backs of the minds of Florida State people, and Deion Sanders poaching guys like Travis Hunter away.
Right. Florida State guy. Yeah.
I just wonder if there is not a wandering eye situation on behalf of Florida State.
I don't think that's inappropriate to say. Yeah, I think the timing of the marriage with the 2020 COVID year and with his alleged missteps, but then clarifications about social issues brought more broadly speaking and how he came sort of under the microscope with that stuff. And then the way, I mean, they lose to Jacksonville State this year, do they not?
Yeah.
On a freak play. They lose their first however many games. And, you know, as soon as it seems like there's a glimmer of hope that they're turning a corner, that, you know, Jordan Travis has this great game, they lose it something dumb. And I just don't think there is a ton of common ground at the moment. I still think it can be salvaged. But right now, there's a lot of ground that needs to be crossed between Florida State and Mike Norvell to truly make this work. There are big expectations from him as a partner, and so far, he has not exactly lived up to them. I think Florida State wants it to work. I think Mike Norvell wants it to work. I think they're going to give it their all. But with the coordinator inconsistencies and coaching inconsistency, like, it's just the thing, things are adding up.
Yeah.
I think they're going to try to make it work in therapy. I think they're each going to, like, what do you need from me?
Yeah,
what do you need from me? But, man.
See, it seems like we're in
rocky territory. There was improvement. You look at the defense. The defense improved substantially.
It did.
Like,
it did. It
there
did.
Are steps being taken to make this a better partnership.
The problem, though, is when you're working that hard at it.
That's true.
And you're looking across the room, and there's Dion. There's Coach
Prime. I hear
you. There's Coach Prime. You got the bling. You got the swagger. Does he not catch the eye of the Florida State brass? I have to believe he has. I have to believe that's the elephant in the room right now.
I'm sure. But here's the other thing. What the Florida State that Mike Norvell started a relationship with had been hurt a couple times. You look at the end of the Jimbo time, you look at the Willie Taggart era. This is a Florida State that was still licking wounds, that was still trying to find itself, right, trying to be the best Florida State it could be. So I don't know if it's a one-way street, that it's simply on Mike Norvell, because I think what he was trying to find, he at the same time of trying to be the best coach he could be, is just to be an encourager, to be somebody who can say, okay, Let's break you down before we build you back up. Mm. And it's a process to heal again, heal again, heal again.
You're up, Dan.
Okay. I want to talk about Arizona State and Herm Edwards.
2 years in a row, we're talking about ASU.
Yeah.
That's not a good sign for Herm Edwards.
No. I think Herm Edwards just doesn't read the room in this marriage. He's buying weird gifts. He's taken ASU to strange restaurants and having awkward, you know, meetings and meals with ASU's family. He's not ready for marriage. He is not a prepared guy to be married on this level. And it seemed like that was going to be the case on their wedding day. But you're like, you know what? Maybe he'll grow into this relationship.
But no, hold on. On their wedding day.
Yeah.
Didn't he sort of do the equivalent of forgetting the name?
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually Melissa, not Melissa.
And right.
Yeah. I just made up that name. I don't know why. It was a rocky start, but you feel like, okay, everybody says so many nice things about this guy that he's ready to settle down once again. And he's just a little bit too erratic and just keeps saying the wrong thing to ASU's dad, where you're just like, what is happening here?
He strikes me as a kind of guy who's watched one too many TED Talks.
Yeah.
You know, and he's always got something inspirational to say.
Mm-hmm.
But then you look at the results and it's like, you're sort of under investigation right now.
It's talking a big game without the follow through.
Yeah, the bark versus bite type of thing.
Right.
And I worry about that with Herm. I like her. You know, everybody knows Herm. Everybody who's been a football fan for the last 20 years knows Herm.
Mm-hmm.
And, There's a lot to like there. He was likable as a coach. He's been likable as an analyst on TV. Mm-hmm. And so when he was hired, it was always a bit of a weird fit. But it was like, all right, yeah. You got to change the model, right? Wasn't that his thing? He's going to upend the model.
Right.
It was always a little weird. It was inspirational. It was aspirational. But it was a little weird. It required a leap of faith. And after year one, it seemed like things were going in a better direction. I remember coming on the show like, hey, maybe it wasn't so bad. Maybe they knew what they were doing. That sort of dissipated pretty quickly.
Definitely married somebody younger, but also refuses to use a cell phone, weirdly.
Yeah.
We're just like, no, this, we gotta be in communication here. You gotta come up to 2022. And he's thinking about the old ways of doing things. I was like, well, that's not gonna work. So I think that's where we stand. I got a good one for you. Ready? Dave Clawson and Wake Forest.
Oh, baby.
Dave Clawson wakes up early, makes coffee, vacuums, trims the hedges. Dave Clawson knows, look, he doesn't have the best house in the world. He doesn't have the biggest and fanciest house, but he is committed to making this marriage work. And he is going to get the most out of this marriage because he is a giving partner. He is a listener. And he's not perfect. He's absolutely not. He has his blind spots and deficiencies, but he's doing everything in his power to be the answer, to be a part of a great marriage. And I think it's reciprocated. I absolutely think it's reciprocated. But he is on it. He is, you know, before Wake Forest can say, what's for dinner? He said, don't worry, it's already in the oven, right? Yeah, yeah. He is on top of it and maximizing the happiness of this marriage.
He got one of those world's greatest dad t-shirts for Father's Day.
Absolutely.
And he wears it.
He wears it.
He wears it. Out in public, around the house, doing chores. He is on top of it. He is proud to be the world's greatest dad. And he embodies being the world's greatest dad.
Yeah. And when Scott Satterfield and Louisville leave the Clawsons from the dinner party, Louisville's like, why can't you be more like Dave? Why can't you be more like Mr. Clawson? And he's setting a high bar in the ACC neighborhood because everybody sees what he's doing.
My favorite Dave Clawson moment, and I believe if memory serves, it was Dave Clawson.
Yeah.
Dave Clawson was the guy who I think was trying to bolt together some plan in 2020 to play in the spring.
Well, I think that was Jeff Brohm. You might be confusing your black and gold schools, or maybe Clawson was as well.
I think Clawson was involved with that, or there was something like that in 2020, and a listener can point out what I'm forgetting, but there was some sort of high concept that Dave Clawson was involved with.
Okay.
And it was like, it came out of nowhere that Clawson was the guy doing this.
Right.
And I remember thinking, this is a guy committed to the bit. This is a guy, to your point, dinner is already in the oven. You don't need to worry about going to Chick-fil-A or ordering out. I mean, Dave Clawson's got you covered. And I've always had a soft spot for the guy ever since we started calling it the Claw Fence.
Of course. No, we didn't invent that.
That was Chip Patterson, yeah. I think.
Oh, nice.
Whoever came up with that, it was very good. It's always stuck with me. Mm-hmm. And I've always been a fan of Clawson. So after the year they had with Sam Hartman at Wake Forest, this guy, he deserves as many ties as you can give him.
He's taken Wake Forest dry cleaning in without being asked. Yeah. All this the is a little guy. Things.
This is a guy. Drives the minivan around with pride. Wears the t-shirt. Yeah. Dave Clawson's the man.
I have Arkansas down here. Arkansas and Sam Pittman as possible swingers. People coming in and out. A lot of transfers, but it's high excitement. Hmm. You know, I don't know how it's going to end. But a lot of excitement, a lot of energy infused into this marriage via this decision. We'll see. Surrounding himself with all sorts of interesting people, coordinators. I have them. Yeah, I have a lifestyle. I have the Sam Pittman lifestyle happening at Arkansas.
Sam Pittman seems like the kind of guy who owns a couple Hawaiian shirts.
Of course, I would. I aspire to be that kind of person.
A couple Hawaiian shirts. Wants to own a boat if he doesn't already. Somewhere we can take, something he could take out in the lake and go fishing. That's Sam Pittman. What goes on that boat, Dan,
Maybe that's what you're getting at here, huh?
Of course.
Out on the open seas, you don't know. You just don't know what Sam's up to.
I'm saying Sam Pittman is a quintessential great second husband. Right? Where he's everything that you didn't have in your last loveless marriage. Sam Pittman's tan. He's positive. People like being around him.
Sure.
It's a full 180 from where you were in your marriage before Sam Pittman. He comes in and, you know, maybe he's never been married, right? And so he's just so excited to be in a marriage.
Yeah.
And he's shooting out of bed every morning. He's so
very
excited
tan.
For the day.
You are right about that. He's very
tan. Yeah, he's a tan guy.
Very tan.
People respond to him. Your friends like him so much more than the last guy.
Yeah.
There's an air of, not excitement, but an air. I mean, there is excitement, but there's just an air of relief and just juice about him that I think everybody is in love with.
Who was the last coach? Chad Morris?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think in retrospect, there's a pretty strong contrast there.
Mm-hmm.
At least through 2 years of the relationship. It's gone pretty well for Sam Pittman.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about Scott Frost in Nebraska again?
Sure. Why not?
Scott Frost in Nebraska. This is an interesting circumstance. I think this may more specifically be Scott Frost and the new athletic director, Trev Alberts, because the Nebraska fan base, I believe, has already divorced Scott Frost, per my understanding.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
He's kind of dead to the fan base. He's been a losing coach, frankly, since he got there. 15-29 is his record in four seasons. He is undefeated in bowl games only because he hasn't been to one. And I think we're at the point where he basically gets one more chance. He gets one more chance before they fire him. And then I'm assuming try to hire Matt Campbell because he's sort of close, but I don't know what happens next. So more to the point of what you raised earlier about couples sort of being in therapy. This is a one last chance type of thing, isn't it? This is a one last chance. It really is.
I would say Nebraska probably went on Hinge, went on Tinder, went on, I think it's Bumble, right? You've heard of Bumble.
Yes.
And did some swiping and said, slim pickings. I'm going to stay in this relationship for now. And I want it to work, but we just keep talking about old stories. He just keeps bringing up old stuff, but I want to live in the moment. And there's a lot of talk, but it's action over words at this point. And yeah, it doesn't seem like a relationship destined to work out for Nebraska. And he means well.
Yeah.
He means well. There's a lot of positive attributes, but the action just isn't there. He says he's going to do this. He says he's going to do that. But at the end of the day, gutters aren't cleaning themselves out.
Right.
You know?
Right, right. Does not feel like it's going to be long for this world.
Right. Yeah. It seems like he schedules date night, gets a reservation, but then last minute, a buddy calls and says he needs it. And he's just like, okay, Scott, I guess. Have fun. What do you have? You want Texas? Do you want South Carolina? I've got a good one, I think, for A&M or USC.
Let's do A&M. I want to do A&M. Okay. Let's do Jimbo.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you thinking for Jimbo?
Okay. So another dinner party situation where they're going out of their way, Jimbo and Texas A&M, to talk about all the fun things that they do, all the crazy things that they get into. They're laughing at each other's jokes.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's just a weird feeling in the air when you look, like, the chemistry seems like it's there. They're trying really, really hard to make it seem like it's things are going great. But I don't know. They kiss awkwardly. And you're like, I don't know if I can see them going all the way. I don't know if I see that passion burning as bright as everybody says it's burning.
Really?
Texas A&M, Jimbo Fisher.
Now, why do you say that? Because they just signed the best recruiting class of all time, Dan.
I know. But I'm saying, look, Jimbo and Texas A&M building a great house. It seems like they have great kids. Right. Everything seems to be on the outside looking great, looking like they're on the way up. Everything's going great. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know, for whatever reason, when push comes to shove, they're not there for you.
Are you thinking this is like a...
And they're not there for each other, perhaps.
Are you thinking this is maybe an Instagram marriage?
No, I wouldn't go that far. I think it's a good marriage. I just think everybody's trying so hard in this family to show everybody how perfect it is.
Right.
That it
right.
makes me worry a little bit about something else.
Jimbo got the fake hair too, didn't he? I mean, he really is trying.
Well, it's technically, I mean, that was a while ago, right? I
think it took, though.
It's not fake. I don't think he's wearing a wig.
No, no, it took.
I think he's got plugs. That's fine. I think he looks great.
Yeah. No, he's in it, man. I mean, he's getting paid handsomely to do it and got the number one recruiting class of all time.
Yeah.
There will be expectations that come with that, but you would expect, to your point, that we're going to start to see some results here shortly. If we don't see the results, it'd be interesting to see if that takes any kind of turn.
Right.
That relationship goes to a different place because, you know, you don't get those kind of headlines without the expectations that come along with them, especially in the SEC.
Like maybe at a dinner party, they're playing like a newlywed game type thing. And they're just not, they don't know each other's favorite hors d'oeuvres.
So, yeah.
Thought they'd be more on the same page.
Did you want to do USC?
Yeah. The perfect couple, Ty. The perfect couple. But here's the thing. Through some back channels.
Uh-oh.
Lincoln Riley's ex has some not great things to say about him. And here's USC thinking, what a find. What a catch.
Yeah.
This is so great.
Yeah.
Is it sour grapes that it didn't work out?
Mm-hmm.
Or is the ex onto something? Right. Now, I don't think USC is looking at the ex with any sort of degree of credibility here. Because people just say things when they're broken up, right? But at the same time, you're like, that is true. I did notice that about him. He does have some weird looking defense. And there is, maybe on the outside, it's just not obvious. And everybody feels good about this brand new couple. Like, oh, what a fit. What a joy they are to go out with.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's that ex saying, watch out.
Youthful energy.
Don't come to me when it doesn't work out and say I didn't tell you.
Billy Sims is somehow going to get involved in this, isn't he?
Of course he is.
He hasn't yet. But at some point, Billy Sims will have comment on this. Now, the Lincoln Riley USC marriage does on the surface seem like a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
A youthful guy going to a place that is always very much front and center.
Maybe a trophy element.
There is a trophy element. That's sort of what I'm getting at.
Younger, flashier.
Yeah.
From another state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not as tan as Sam Pittman, but close.
It's costing you a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's definitely costing you some cash.
Right.
To make this relationship work.
The early yield is there.
It seems to be.
The early yield is there. And I mean, I think this is the type of situation where USC was in a relationship before where they could go out and be cordial with Clay Helton's friends.
Mm-hmm.
But the friends that Lincoln Riley is bringing to town are a lot more inspiring. Like Caleb Williams is coming to town now, man.
Mm-hmm.
Malachi Nelson's coming to town. Like these friends that he's coming to the party with, I don't know. It just makes for more interesting conversation.
Slight fish out of water.
A little bit. Oh, yeah.
Like friends, family saying like, oh, he's Presbyterian, huh? Interesting. Well, you don't know what it means. You don't know if it means anything. But somebody says something. Presbyterian, huh?
It's a funny word. Yeah.
Yeah. Michigan State, I have down here as a marriage worth talking about.
Man, Michigan State. You're going to have to pry Mel Tucker away from their dead, lifeless fingers. This is a situation where Michigan State maybe will prove to be a little bit clingy in the end here.
Because oh, for sure, but that's okay.
It's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine. Everybody out there is looking at that Michigan State situation and saying, why don't we have a Mel Tucker? You think Mel Tucker would want to come here?
So what's Northern Dave Clawson? Yeah.
Anybody got Mel Tucker's email? Oh, it's a Gmail. It's not AOL. We like Mel Tucker. Like,
yeah.
I just feel like Michigan State loves what they got, but wakes up every day just a little worried.
That he's out of their league?
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, first of all, Michigan State is not only thrilled to have a spouse like Mel, but coming
spouse
off of their
spouse like Mel. Continue. I'm sorry. That was weird.
But coming out of that marriage, which the way it ended was tedious, was so draining and tedious, and it had its moments. But the slow decline of the last marriage, we're talking about a really, really tough divorce process.
Yeah.
Where just by the end of things, it's Mark D'Antonio going to the grocery store and saying, you owe me $84 for all of your stupid crackers.
And they had been divorced for a while.
It had been falling apart, for sure.
They were divorced for a while. They just finally chose to make it official.
Right.
Before the 2020 campaign, you know?
And Mel Tucker's that glow up. Yeah. Mel Tucker's absolutely that glow up, that infusion of life.
Yeah.
That he's leaving you a little wobbly need, Ty. What are we talking about
Settle.
Here?
Settle down.
Mel Tucker's just, he's a giver. He's an absolute giver. I have a bunch of other schools here, Ty, that I'm about to get weird with, if you'll indulge me. I don't know what you have left on your list.
I just have a bigger picture marriage between colleges and college football. A real zoom out. A real retrospective.
Okay.
A lot's been floated out there. A lot's been floated out there, especially in light of NIL becoming a thing and the transfer pool becoming a thing and everybody and their uncle going into the transfer portal. And it's knocked some coaches for a loop to the extent where you've heard coaches, you've heard analysts, you've heard conference commissioners talk about whether or not college football fits inside of the college model at this point. Because of the money, because of everything that goes into the industry of college football at this juncture, like, should this really be within the academic system? And I like the fact that it's made the job harder for colleges, especially those colleges that are blue bloods, the Alabamas, the Clemsons, right? Mm-hmm. It's made it harder. They've now got something that they got to work for. Like, they got to buy the Peloton if they want to get in shape.
Sure.
If they want to be in this thing for the long haul and take care of their part of the relationship. But part of me is worried if we look like 15, 20 years in the future, if this is just one of those weddings that you went to and you said, man, this is a great couple. This is a lot of fun. I am thrilled to be here. I don't see it going 35 years.
Right.
I think it's got a shelf life.
Most don't.
I think eventually, like, something's just going to, I don't know. It's got that weird feeling. I can't put my finger on it. I feel guilty about saying it.
Sure.
But I wonder if at some point down the road, there is some sort of, maybe it's for business reasons. I don't know. Maybe this is a marriage of convenience where they're just sort of together for business interests. And over the course of time, you find that there's no real love there. It's a money thing. Sorry, we're divorcing. We're going our separate ways.
So you're saying
college
this
football
is-
and colleges kind of decouple from one another.
Oh, I don't see it. I think they're so locked in.
I don't know.
They're so locked in. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you certainly could be right. I don't know. But
I met a couple once that was together only because they co-owned a business. And they were terrible people.
Did they work together?
Yeah.
As a couple? Yeah. So?
Hated each other.
Oh, they did hate each other. Okay.
Did it for the business. And it was weird. And I hope college football and colleges and academia do not get there. But
I have that as a Northwestern Pat Fitzgerald marriage.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Really?
They're together. It's much more of a partnership than a romantic affair.
They make
sense for each other.
But do you think Northwestern feels like it can do better than Pat Fitzgerald?
No. No, absolutely. I mean, he won the Big Ten West a couple of years ago. It's not that long ago. No, I think they like the feeling of the familiarity of Pat Fitzgerald. He's been there so long, played from there. He's Mr. Northwestern. But just in terms of a spark, in terms of that offense, you know, he's tried a couple times to rekindle that flame. They're like, you know what? Let's not try to be something we're not as a couple. Let's just be who we are and hope for the best. We like the same TV shows. We like the same snacks from the grocery store. And we're great at co-parenting our kids.
Yeah.
You know, we're into the same stuff, more broadly speaking. But it's not like I'm willing to do what it takes to knock you off your feet.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just.
Other side of that.
Yeah.
Hook 'em. Texas. All in on looks, on trophy appearances. Money can only do so much, though, Ty, as you know. It doesn't matter how nice the bag Texas is holding is. It doesn't matter how nice of a car, all the pictures that you see from vacations, the five-star vacations, because you still hang out with them, and they're not fully grown up. They're not, they're not focusing on the important things. They don't have their act together. You know, somebody forgets to pick up a kid from soccer practice. Like, there's still too much swirling in their head, and it's much more about appearances.
Is this the Instagram marriage?
This could be the Instagram marriage.
This could be the Instagram marriage. Yeah.
Yeah.
I worry about that. I worry in this relationship that if Sark decided one day he wanted to change his hairstyle or maybe grow a mustache, Texas would be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You can't do that.
No, I need much better posts. I can't put that on Instagram. Yeah, by the way.
What am I supposed to hashtag that with?
Living in the suburbs, Ty. I see, like, I come across people, not even really people I know, but like friends of friends. Jody will send them to me or somebody else will send them to me. Like, you're doing like these full, like you hired a professional photographer to take pictures of your Halloween decorations and your family.
Yeah.
Like, what? You're spending all this effort to show how like cutesy you are? Come on. What are we doing here? It just doesn't seem accessible.
No, it is worrying. It is worrying. But now with Quinn Ewers coming to town.
I guess.
Quinn Ewers coming to town. I don't know what the analog is for in relationship world, but, you know, sort of the cool, zany, crazy friend who comes in and could fix your washer or build a new deck or do something that you've been needing for a long time.
Right.
It could be that Sark is resourceful enough in a way that truly impresses Texas, makes them feel a way they haven't felt before, at least not in some time.
Having a kid to save the marriage. Sure. Having a kid, bringing in a new kid to this world to try and make the marriage work out.
Right.
I have Baylor as a quiet burn, Ty.
Slow burn.
Dave Aranda, Baylor. The mystery is alive. They enjoy reading books together in bed, discussing what they've been reading. Early to bed, early to rise. It works for them, Ty. It's a strong partnership. They found each other. Baylor never thought they were going to find another person like Matt Rhule. But here comes Dave Aranda. And he's a different cat. He's a different guy.
He's more intellectual. They lay there. They read. They talk about Wordle strategy.
Absolutely.
You know,
because Wordle is such an intellectual pursuit.
Of course. They're just humming on a different frequency together.
Yeah. They've got little inside jokes, but it's like about Proust. It's, you know, it's different. But it works for them, right? Yeah. Where you just like, you've come across a couple, where you're like, I don't know if I could date her. And maybe Kate says, I don't know if I could date him. But you both agree, like, they're good together.
Yeah.
They're good. It works. It obviously, the proof is in the pudding.
It is one of those situations where over the course of time, they start to look like one another.
Yes.
Which is a weird thing that
for sure
I think happens in the best of relationships. So, yeah.
Does your dog look like you or Kate?
Not yet.
That happens too, right?
I think maybe. I don't know what the science says on that, Dan.
Yeah. You've seen pictures.
Sure. No, exactly.
I have Wisconsin as a very comfortable relationship that it's time to get out of the rut. I'm not saying to break up. I'm saying get out of the rut. Same restaurants, same routines, same comebacks to each other, you know, same vacations where you're just like, you know what? Let's change things up.
But didn't they go out and marry like the boss's son or the boss's you know, understudy.
Sure. They have a type. Big, burly.
Yeah.
Warm. Yeah. Look, they had a fling with Gary Anderson for sure. Didn't work out.
No.
They went against type. They wanted to get back to that big cozy snuggler.
Yeah.
Familiar cozy. Scent cozy of the Badger
I'm
State.
I'm going to write down cozy snuggler.
Yeah,
that's good.
But yeah, I think Paul Chryst is realizing that he needs to change it up a little bit because they got a little too comfortable.
Give me one more.
All right. I have here, how about Kentucky?
Oh boy.
Kentucky's interesting. Kentucky I have here as rock solid. People are happy. There are times when when Kentucky and that relationship, you know, one of them can be a little bit stubborn. Maybe a little bit of a wandering eye towards basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
But in terms of, you know, stubbornness with the offense where it was past couple years, but they made that change. I think Mark Stoops and Kentucky both decided, you know, we're going to see a trainer together. We're going to get lean. We're going to be our best selves together. And so what if we're not as hot as the couple down the block? So what if we're not as rich? We're happy, damn it. And we're getting results.
This is the type of situation where Kentucky and Mark Stoops married late.
Yes. They waited.
They waited. They waited until they were in their late 40s, early 50s.
Sure.
It took a while to get there. Mm-hmm. But now it's a situation where friends on really both sides are saying things like, I'm really happy for you.
Worked out.
Really happy you found that person.
Mm-hmm.
Glad it worked out.
Yeah.
Because it has worked out. I mean, come on.
Famously.
Let's be real. It's really worked out. Good for them. Good for them. What a great couple.
Good, great couple. They make every wedding dance floor better. They make every dinner party better. Maybe you run into them on vacation and you're just like, yeah, of course we're going on a double date. We're in Mykonos.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're great. You didn't think I was going to drop an allusion to Mark Stoops and his football wife vacationing in Mykonos and everybody going crazy over a plate of halloumi. Did you?
I did not see that coming. All right.
You like Greek food? You like halloumi?
No, I don't even know what that is. I have no idea what
halloumi's
that is.
Halloumi's a cheese. It's a mild white cheese. It's not unlike like a creamier mozzarella.
I've never heard that word in my life.
Have you? Halloumi? H-A-L-O-U-M-I.
No, never heard that word in my
never.
Life.
Never.
No.
Have you heard of... So the Greeks will like fry a cheese and they'll set it on fire. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Really?
No. I've had a gyro once in my life and it wasn't a fan.
You ever had a Greek salad?
I have had a Greek salad. Yeah, I've had a Greek salad.
Okay, so that's the white cheese that's in a Greek salad. Okay. It's probably cubed up. It's very mild.
What was that word again?
Halloumi.
H-A-L-O-U-M-I. Never
maybe
heard
you,
that word.
I mean, there's obviously going to be feta in a Greek salad as well.
Right.
Or saltier cheese. But yeah, halloumi. Very mild. I recommend it. It's good.
This is not a show about culture. It is a show about college football. We would encourage
sometimes yeah.
to write in across any of our social media channels to solidverbal.com or hell, go on, join verballers.com if you want to get the full experience. Let us know what we got right, what we got wrong, how you will be preparing for Valentine's Day. If you would want to share that information with us, we'll be happy to be your sounding board.
Yeah.
Our website is solidverbal.com. You can find us across pretty much every social media channel. Please follow if you haven't already. You still have a few days left to get in on the Solid giveaway. Solidgiveaway.com. We're giving out the Reggie Bush signed mini helmet. So we posted that in a bunch of places. Running out of time, though. We're drawing that winner on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
So you still got about a week.
Mm-hmm.
Get your name in the hat. But this is where we are, Dan. Fun show, as always. Weird show, as always.
You want to talk Brady Hoke and San Diego State? Get back together with your ex-husband. Look, you know he's going to say inappropriate things at dinner parties. You're okay with his deficiencies. Another cozy snuggler.
Yeah.
That's all.
Okay. Thank you for downloading the show.
Halloumi. Here's what we're going to do. So you are going to, we're going to wrap things up right now and then we're just going to leave the record button on and I'm going to ask you uncomfortable questions about your marriage and
great.
It's only going to be available to Patreon subscribers at verballers.com because that's the content that they apparently demand.
This is the worst idea you've ever had.
I love it.
For that guy over there.
my good friend Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrandt, thank you so much for downloading, for listening, for playing along at home. We'll be back on Thursday. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.